This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
2, 3, 4. If you're looking for advice from a real girl who might not have the answers, but goddamn she'll try, just a tip and you'll be on your way. With Meg and Batoon on Friday.
Welcome to Just a Tip, an advice podcast hosted by me, Megan Batoon, a real girl. I cry 3 separate times when I watch Bring It On, so that's why I have 2 friends today here to help me help you. I have Tess and Hannah.
Hi.
Hello.
Tess is a writer, producer, and actress who started her career in the industry with a brief stint on MTV's Teen Crib.
That's true. Rep it.
Which... let me ask you.
Yeah.
It was your parents' house.
You know, it was. It was. I've hid this for a long time. But I decided let's just bring it up and discuss that.
Oh, I love your bravery right now.
Thank you. I've come a long way. I used to pretend it wasn't a part of me, but it is, you know?
I need so much more detail.
My dad had a very interesting house. He was like an environmental architect. And so they wanted to do this episode that was like about, you know, like we had solar panels and like I'm from the Bay Area. So it's all that shit that's really obnoxious. But they were like, yeah, like we should do an episode that like focuses on the environment. And so I had to really be in that. And so I had to pretend that like I biked every day and all of that I don't do at all.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You can find it. If you really dig in to the internet, you can find it somewhere.
She knows the URL. It's on the tip of your tongue. I know you want to spell it out for us.
Oh my God. I've seen it so many times. It's like a rainy day go-to for me.
Oh my gosh. Instead of rom-coms, you're eating Panda Express and watching that on repeat.
Exactly.
That is incredible. Hannah, we have her as well. She's a producer, actress, writer hybrid who once fell into a hot tub fully clothed.
Sure did.
How did that come about?
So, you know, college, Tess and I met at the University of San Francisco.
Go Dons.
And we had some friends who lived in Santa Cruz, and we went down there for the day, and there was a party, and we were all talking. I had my phone in my back pocket, and I was leaning up against a hot tub, which is, like, not a smart idea, you know? Just probably shouldn't do that when you're drinking and it's dark out. And I just truly took a tumble and just kind of rolled backwards into it.
Just a quick jaunt into the water.
And that was when I learned about the rice trick for your phone, because my phone... was in that pocket, and so it was fully submerged in hot tub water.
Almost perished.
And it did not work.
It did not.
Oh, really?
Mm-mm.
How long were you in the hot tub for?
Just a brief second.
she recovered well. Not a lot of people saw.
Oh, really?
Not a lot of people saw, but I had a few drinks in me, so I ran in, I took my pants off because they were soaking wet, and I ran inside, and I was like, I just fell in the hot tub.
So no one saw you?
No one saw me, and no one even needed to know about it.
Yeah. And no one really truly cared.
No. Everyone went on with the night. It was great. I still had fun.
Are you traumatized for hot tubs, or have you been in since?
Oh, I have been in a hot tub since. I have made sure to remove all clothing before entering the hot tub.
And now you thrive in hot tubs, I feel.
I do, yeah.
That's the only place.
Nowhere else.
But anywhere else, forget it.
I peak in hot tubs.
If I could bring laptops into the hot tub, some food.
Here's my thing about hot tubs, and this is what I would say to make them better. Okay. Number one, less hot.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I would say...
there's no need for it to be that hot.
It's too hot.
It's hard to sustain a relaxing... Yeah, actually, because I went to a spa recently and I did like a hot bath. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's going to be like a bath. Like, I'm going to be relaxing. And it was so hot. And she asked me to feel it and to let her know if it was too hot. And for some reason, I was like... always the people pleaser. I was like, no, it's fine.
I was just like on the verge of death.
Your face is melting off.
They're just
it's
like,
okay.
Yeah, sweating. I dropped like, I was supposed to put a cucumber on my eye and I dropped it in the water. So half of the time I was just looking for it.
It starts to fry. You're just eating fried cucumber.
Deep fried cucumber slice I pulled out.
It's a Salvador Dali painting.
Exactly.
It's just droopy.
I agree with you. I think less hot would be a move.
I agree as well.
And maybe one more thing about hot tubs is maybe it's hot in one end. I know this is physically impossible, but hot in one end and like it starts getting less hot as you get out.
Oh, that's a great idea.
You know, so it's temperamentally, incrementally as well, like getting to the hot, like
right.
Satan's bathtub status.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get out and you're fine because
yeah.
it's so cold when you're not in it.
That's true. I feel it's better for your body.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a health
it's very
thing.
Jarring.
It's like ombre temperature.
Ombre.
Temperature ombre.
We could do this, guys. We
next
just need
business
the
venture.
Yeah, I guess we're done with the podcast. We have an idea on our hands now. So this is an advice podcast. People write in that need help with their sticky situations, and we do our best to try and help them.
Yes.
So are you ready to try and help?
We sure
Let's
are.
Do it.
Okay, first question. I met this guy through mutual friends on our college grad trip to New Orleans. Mm. We were only there for 4 days, but the chemistry built up fast, and we were holding hands on Bourbon Street by the end of the second night. Out of fear of being classified as only a vacation girlfriend, I distanced myself the last night we were there, and I'm afraid I might have ruined things now that we're back home. He's been solely Snapchatting me now for 5 days post-vacation, even though he has my number. Snapchat takes minimal effort. If he liked me, he would do something more than just Snapchat. On the other hand, I want to ask him out, but I don't want to set a bad precedent to the relationship. Do I wait for him, or was it just a vacation thing? Mm. Help from anxious alumni.
Anxious wow, alumni. Wow, 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 wow.
A lot
wow.
to unpack here, mainly Snapchat.
Ooh. Mainly New Orleans.
I holding feel... hands is the tamest thing that's ever happened on Bourbon Street.
That's
I'm pretty
true.
Sure.
Also, like, you know, New Orleans is an interesting place. Hannah and I have been there a couple times together, and I feel like what happens there, is it based in reality? Like, is it all a dream?
Right.
It just doesn't feel, nothing feels real in New Orleans. It's kind of like Vegas.
But here's my question. So he's Snapchatting her now.
Yeah.
Constantly.
But no texts.
But no texts, which makes me think he's looking for something.
But
it might not be a relationship,
yeah.
per se.
I feel like the when you just snap, that's concerning to me.
It's a
yeah.
bit of a red flag.
A little bit of a red flag if you are trying to go down the relationship path.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're just trying to get yours, then it's like,
yeah.
Snapchat's the perfect thing for that. You just take a couple pics, send it back, and it's game on.
Yeah,
I think.
That's true. But she wants more than that?
She seems like she does, but he's definitely thinking, he's putting the vibes out that that's what he wants.
Right.
Interesting.
Oof. I mean, I'm always one just to say, make the first move and just do it. And like, what's the worst that can happen? You're rejected. You get over it. Hurts a little bit. But, you know, I don't know. I just think I always just like to at least put it out there.
I do, too.
Just
I think
to, like get some communication. Like, what is this? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I've sent a text to a guy one time that I had hooked up with him and I thought things were going really good. And I was like, hey, let's get together. That was my text him. And I thought I was being so cool and so, like, edgy and, like, forward. And he was just, like, didn't respond right away.
But he did respond.
He did respond. What he ended up responding was saying he wasn't really looking for anything right now. But, you know, I lived through it. And I think a move like that, this isn't probably the most encouraging story, like, because it didn't have a great outcome. But I think I learned a lot from it. And I think now I'm way more comfortable being forward and being open with people and just being like, hey, this is how I feel. How do you feel?
It's just going to drive you crazy. Or at least, like, for me. I get in my head and then I'm like, even if this is going to suck and they hate me. Let's just put it all out.
They hate me. That's my fear for everything. I feel like everyone hates me all the time.
Oh, me too. Just the constant anxiety.
Constant insecurity.
It's really debilitating.
Yeah. But go for it.
Yes, we believe in you.
But they
He's going to love
hate
you.
No, it'll be great.
I mean, if we're being honest with this girl, it seems like this dude isn't into you. And that's so painful to hear. And
yeah.
I've talked to Irene and I talked about this when we were on a flight once and we weren't sitting together. So we spend the whole 5 hours not talking. And then I land and I just get a text message. It's like, just watch. He's not that into you. Realize he's not into me.
True. I have the text. It's because it's so important to hear, but it oftentimes, like, it's the exact thing you need to hear, but it's so easy to, like, try to talk your way out of it. Like, oh, maybe he didn't reply to me asking exactly. him over because his grandma died. Like, no, she didn't. Like, you know. Even though one time I got really, like, ballsy and was like, I'm going to say, hey, you should reply to me when I ask you a question.
Oh,
and then he was like, at a funeral.
Oh, my God, yeah. I liked it, too, until he was like, hey, sorry, I just got back from overseas. One of my, like, family members passed away. I was like,
oh, my God. Yeah, that's, like, that's the nightmare right there.
If you want cookies to make you feel better. Didn't work out.
Go to the grocery store and buy some Oreos. They have double stuff now.
Yeah, the excuses we all tell each other and ourselves when someone doesn't text back is, that could be a long, long list. But it's hard. But, you know, as you get older, sometimes it's part of life. The chemistry's not there.
I know. And even if it is there, they could just be faking it.
Exactly.
Which sucks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So maybe she should find someone, you know, that is making her more of a priority.
Yeah.
Totally.
Have you ever had a vacation fling?
I never have, but I've always wanted to.
Ah, you got to get out there.
I know.
With like have a rando?
Not bringing your boyfriend on a trip.
Well, I feel like I have friends that go places and then just meet people and then they're together for a little bit.
I am not approachable, I feel. I feel like I hear these stories too and I'm just like, no one.
Like, how does this happen to people?
No one comes up to me.
Me either.
One time a guy started talking to me at an airport bar and I was like, okay, this is happening.
He's like, what can I get you?
Yeah. He's like, ma'am, you need to pay your bill. No, he just like asked me a question about the book I was reading. I was like, this is it.
My soulmate.
I'm going to fall in love. And then he just really wanted to know what book I was reading. Right. And then he left me alone.
This is what I wanted to happen. We just went to Austin for my birthday a month ago.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
The only reason I brought it up.
Yeah, just to get that happy birthday.
She's like,
thanks.
It was a great trip, but thanks.
There's no more story here. It was like a girls' trip, and we met this guy who was, and maybe still is, the love of my life. Was thinking that I'd have a kind of situation like that. Nothing came of it. We like hung out all night. We were making
you
out.
We
made out, and I've never seen someone more attractive. If he's listening to this, Evan from Maryland.
I'm crying.
With the scar on your face that was so hot in a strange way. Where are you? Yeah. Where are you?
#FindEvan.
#FindEvan. We did make a hashtag on Instagram.
Stop. And no success so far.
Nothing came from it. This girl, he was at a wedding party and then they went to a bar after and then this girl came up to him and was like, what are you doing, Evan? And then I was like, ooh, maybe this is something I shouldn't be involved in. So that killed the dream right there.
Yeah.
There's always something weird with everyone. Isn't that crazy?
I know.
If you're like, that guy's cute, that girl's nice, but there's always someone where you're the bad person that's intruding.
Like, what did I do besides take, like, 14 tequila shots and just try to find love in Austin, Texas?
You can't blame a girl for doing that.
Sure can't, can you, Hannah? Yeah. Sure can't.
Have you ever been on a cruise ship and you kind of meet someone, you guys hang out for like 3 days and that's it?
No.
I've only ever been on the Disney cruise.
That's your family? Child.
So I hung out with like Mickey for 3 days. Does that count?
Like he's into it though.
He's like married too, so that's scandalous.
Yeah, that is.
Are they married?
Are they married?
Are they legally just binded by association?
I think they're in an open relationship.
No. Who else would Minnie be into if it wasn't Mickey?
There's a lot of new Disney characters.
You think the old Disney characters hang out with the new ones?
I think so.
Whoa. Do you think if they're different animations, they even know about each other? Because how could you even picture 2D and 3D together?
Never thought about that.
Maybe they're separate worlds.
Blowing my
That's
mind.
True. Okay, I'm sorry I said anything about
like
Minnie
maybe
and
Mickey. Maybe there's so many universes and like that's one galaxy is all the characters that are two-dimensional.
Wow.
And then the Pixar world is a new universe and they don't know each other exists.
Oh, that's a good point. God.
And we get to experience all of them.
We're on to you, Disney.
But little do they know.
We have a direct quote from Walt Disney.
From Minnie, actually. She's on the line. Minnie, what do you got to say?
She's like, I'm deeply offended.
Thank you so much for having me on.
The Mickey and Minnie have never been married on screen. Walt Disney said in a 1933 interview that in private life, Mickey is married to Minnie.
Aww. That's a...
Just not publicly?
That's kind of sweet, but yeah. I'd be pissed if I were Minnie.
Wait, did you guys know that the voices of Mickey and Minnie are married in real life?
I actually did know that.
I did not.
You did know that?
I didn't know that.
I'm surprised you... Hannah's a huge Disney fan.
Are you? No. What's your favorite Disney movie?
Oh, my God. I really love the Disney princess, like, when we were growing up, and mm-hmm. it was, like, Belle and Ariel.
Yeah,
I love,
that crew.
I love Beauty and the Beast. Ugh. I love Aladdin. You know, I love all those.
Did you like the Emma Watson remake?
So this is controversial for me and Tess, because I mm-hmm. really liked it. I cried.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was, like, moved to tears watching it.
Interesting.
She was beside herself the whole time.
Yeah, and Tess didn't feel it. She wasn't into it.
You know, I love Emma Watson. Uh-huh. I think she's great. I was disappointed in everything about the movie.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because would you say that you're more of a Disney fan than Tess is?
Probably.
Yes.
And that's interesting because Beauty and the Beast is my favorite Disney movie, and that's why I didn't like it because I was like, you're not being true to the source material.
Interesting, right. Interesting.
I just felt like, where was the passion in her performance? I feel like she... I felt like she was so goddamn bored. I was like, please, you're playing Belle. Like, bring something to this. And I didn't feel that.
Yeah. Man. Who would have been a better cast if you could recast Belle?
Who did we say that we talked about this?
Oh. We did have some ideas.
You talk about this every day.
Yeah. But now I'm forgetting.
Yeah, because the only thing for me with her was the auto-tune.
The auto-tune was rough. Right. I thought, what's her name? I know she's a little bit older, but who cares? Alicia Vikander?
Vikander?
I don't know who that is.
From Ex Machina and what was the movie called?
With her husband who transitioned.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't know who that is.
All I can think is Call Me By Your Name.
There she is. Yes. Yeah, isn't she just...
She would be a great Belle.
And she just is so... she's such a good actress. She's so beautiful. Yeah, she can sing. I just... We talked about Anne Hathaway for a second, even though that was controversial.
Because I think she, again, is a little... old for the role, but
wow,
I don't like.
Wow,
I don't
Hannah.
know. No, I'm just saying if we're staying true to this.
Yeah,
no,
Belle is
very young. She's very young.
I mean, I guess we should have like a 16-year-old player if we're gonna be.
That's true.
Right.
I took a quiz the other day to see if I could guess all the different princesses' real age in the time the movie happens. I was shocked.
Were you correct?
No.
far off.
I was very generous. I was like, they all had to be like 17, 18, maybe 21 for some of them. It's like 15, 14.
Cinderella?
Cinderella, I think, is like 17 or 16.
Ariel's pretty young, right?
Ariel's 16.
Oh, I thought she was even younger.
Snow White's like 14.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Snow White is 14?
Yeah.
Isn't she? Oh, that's Sleeping Beauty. She was trying to be kissed.
Yeah, that was her 17th birthday.
Is when she had her first kiss?
Is on her birthday?
Yeah, because that's when she like touches the needle or something.
And oh, then yeah.
It's been a minute since I've seen the
bloomer.
Really old ones.
That was like me. I didn't have my first kiss till I was 17.
Oh, let's hear all about it.
Just wasn't much to it. Just in the back of a car. Aww. When we were driving to some theater party and my friend was driving us. Poor thing. Mark.
Poor thing, the driver or the one that had to kiss you?
Probably both.
No.
No.
He counts as lucky stars that he
got to
kiss you.
My friend Mark was driving his mom's minivan, and we were going to some weird theater party, and I knew it was going to happen because people were talking about it. People were like, he's saying something about you. And I was like, well, just like kissing, right? Like, I was super scared that, like, I was going to be pressured into something, and that it was. And it was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
So you liked him?
The options were limited, so that's sure. Yeah, yeah, I liked him for what
You're
I had.
Like, I'm not getting any younger.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's help her now. I guess, what's our parting tip for this girl who doesn't know if she's a fling or not?
I think I agree with you, Megan. I think it's maybe let it go. I think maybe if he's just snapping you can either call him out and be like, we doing this or not. But that's an aggressive move.
And we've learned from Irene.
Yes. As I appreciate it. I respect it.
I definitely do too.
But there are consequences.
Oh, to everything.
To left. Yeah, just whispering. So if you ever need help with that.
But yeah, I'd say, girl, get someone that's going to want to take you out, that's going to text you, that's going to make it happen. Like, don't wait around for these boys. They're just like, yeah, I snapped you. Did you get it? It's like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I didn't.
I feel like
Block. Block.
I heard someone say once, like, if they want to talk to you, they'll find a way to talk to you.
Yes, it's so true.
Yeah.
It's so, like, basic, it's so but it's so true.
Yeah, but it's like, yes, of course that makes sense.
Yeah, I'd say move on, girl.
Yeah, you're too good for that.
Go back to New Orleans and find someone that you'll love. And that will love you back.
And only in New Orleans.
No other city.
Yeah.
That's the only city where love prevails.
Yes.
Okay. Ready for another question?
Ready.
I think we're doing great so far.
I agree.
I think we're great at this.
Because sometimes hearing things that you don't want to hear helps more than the people. Do you have any yes people in your life that, like, you go to them for problems, or not for problems, but you tell certain people problems and they're like, yeah, you're right, even if you're wrong?
Yes.
You need some people like that, but not everyone. Like, if I came to you and I was like, and I was clearly wrong, but I was like, I'm mad because all of these reasons, and you're like, yeah, you should be mad, but I'm obviously not in the right.
I don't think I would. Yeah, I mean, I support you no matter what, but I do like to think that I'm devil's advocate-y enough to be like,
yeah,
I hear why you're mad and you're so right to have those feelings, but, like, just so you know, like, I think that this person's coming at it like this and maybe you took it out of context or whatever. Except for what happened today. That was all wrong.
That was a whole other thing.
That's funny because we were talking about this too on the way down here. We were saying, like, we were just talking about how sometimes you need someone to just be like, your feelings are valid and you should feel what you want to feel. Because sometimes when I'm in that place, I'm like, don't try to pull me out of this. I've committed to being angry right now.
Exactly.
Like,
let me have an hour.
I need
Even
to
an
feel
hour.
It. And
truly.
Then, like, yeah, because I feel like with Tess, if I go to her with a problem, she's good at, like, kind of, like you were saying, like, balancing those two things where you're like, yes, you're right, be mad. And then when I've, like, calmed down, it's like, all right, so where do we go from here?
Right.
How do
right.
I make this not a thing anymore?
I think that's the best balance of a relationship there is.
Totally.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not really real.
Exactly.
It's not a relationship.
And the next question. Nice dude. There's this girl at the gym who I occasionally see that I'm interested in. Mm. Currently, we already have some audio happening.
My apologies.
Currently, we're on a high and buy basis. I've wanted to talk to her for the past several months, and I haven't had much of a conversation with her because when I do see her, she usually has her headphones on, and I don't want to bother her. Gym etiquette, you know? So one day, I saw an opening, and I asked if I can get her opinion on something. I asked, do girls like to be approached at the gym? She responded, for me personally, it's a no, because I just want to go through my workout and head home, and I already feel like a mess. Understandable.
Right. Yes.
I pretty much left it at that and took it as an indirect hint to not approach her as well. I know that if I really wanted to, I could wait for her as she leaves the gym, but I don't want to come off creepy or go out of my way just to wait. Thanks, guys. Lost and confused.
Definitely lost and confused with the situation.
What do you think? From the top. We've heard some sighs from the top.
I'm shook by this, that he would continue to go after her. I mean, I think that answer that she said, that's enough. Like, if she was into that, she would have been like, I mean, usually I don't like being approached, but with you, like, what's up?
Exactly.
Right. But she didn't say that.
My thing, too, is, like, I, again, kudos for going for it, but it's, like, I think you kind of, you got to find a better opener than, like, does this bother you, me coming up to talk to you? Because then right away I'm like, you know what? Yeah, it does bother me.
You're right. Think about it.
You know, it's,
you're
like,
kind of,
like, setting yourself up. And the gym's a hard place to meet people because I feel that girl. I'm like, yeah, if I'm at the gym, I'm like, don't even look at me because I'm a swamp creature right now. Like, I do not feel, even if someone is in the gym, like, dang, girl, like, you look good. I
hope they say it with that much confidence, too.
Just whispering.
Dang, girl, you look great. Because, like, I don't even want to talk to anyone when I'm at the gym.
Or otherwise.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to talk to anyone.
I don't want to talk to anyone ever. Yeah. So this is a big day for me.
Again, thanks.
Yeah. Anything for you. But I feel like you got to just let that one go. I think she's kind of made it clear. I would take her response as like a hard no.
Yeah.
Don't try to do it again. That would be rough.
It's also like he says that he could wait for her as she leaves the gym, but she had already said she feels like a mess during the workout.
Yeah.
Imagine afterwards.
No.
Like straight up splash zone at SeaWorld. I don't want you to say anything to me.
Yeah, and like waiting for someone when they exit anywhere, that's just always like,
hey,
sounds a little creepy. Yeah, like I'm waiting for you outside your house, outside the gym, outside your car. That all just like is triggering to me.
Yeah.
I don't want someone to approach me like that.
Yeah.
Or ever.
Maybe this is why I'm not approachable. I think I'm figuring out why.
Maybe this
I'm
is
not
why I'm very single.
I put out that vibe to not talk to me.
I definitely do too. If I even see someone looking at me, I'll like look away.
Oh, for sure. Just right. Head down. Just pretend you're starting to text.
Right.
It's the world we live in. It's very sad.
It is really sad. What's the best, if someone were to approach you and you'd be receptive about it, what would be the most ideal approach from someone that wants to date you?
Oh, man.
I just like.
I'm like, what is that?
I don't. Take? Yeah, once again, can't really remember too much about that. I like just like cut and draw. I don't like the cheesy pickup lines. I don't like any of that. If someone wants to talk to me, I'd rather just have them come up and be like, hey, I think you're cute. Like, do you want to go get a drink? I was going to say coffee, and I was like, no, I'd probably say no. I'd be like, let's go to a bar. but, you know, like, just, like, stop with the little pickup lines, the, like, so.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, the worst part. I'm, like, online dating, or I'm not even online dating right now. I have the apps, but nothing comes from it. But, like, I hate the lines that are like that. It makes me, like, sick to my stomach, and then it makes me want to delete them. And I'm like, I know that's just, like, what they think that they should do.
But, yeah, but it's not.
It's not.
Right.
Just say, hey, like, let's go out.
That's
it. I think, too, finding, like, a common interest is good. Like, hey, I noticed you really like tricep kickbacks. Like,
those are my favorite.
So do I. You know, like, love your form.
Love your form. Know.
This is all gym specific.
I don't like any of that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I take it back. But I think common interest is good. Or like, like when I thought that guy at the airport bar and I were going to start talking, you know, like you could, it's easy to be like, oh, I like your
luggage.
Shoes.
Right. He's like not wearing shoes.
I'm like, oh dear.
I mean, toenails.
Yeah.
Okay, but. So if he is, I like that too, especially that you're going the gym route because this guy is in the gym. So maybe,
right?
Maybe she's not the one, but if you do frequent the gym a lot and you see another cute girl, how can we help him approach a girl that is fine with getting approached at the gym?
Yes.
What would be acceptable gym etiquette pickup-esque behavior?
Ooh.
Well, I haven't been to a gym in a really long time, but aren't there like... Little, there's like a smoothie bar sometimes at a gym.
Are they?
Right? Fancy ones.
Oh, at fancy ones.
Like Equinox or something?
Yeah, last gym I went to was years ago, and it was Equinox in Beverly Hills when I first got to LA, and I thought I could make something of myself. And I was like, guess I'm going to Equinox. And there was a smoothie bar, but I guess that's really obnoxious to say. It'd be like, hey, you want to like grab a smoothie after this?
I mean, even if there's not in a smoothie bar in the gym, like you healthy, can say that afterwards.
That kind of totally. Is like all in like the health fitness world, you know, of like, hey, like if Steve, you've been working out a lot and you have a sweat going, let's go hide. Let's go get some like electrolyte water.
Let's further that sweat.
Yeah. Or just I think even, it's a hard one because
hard.
I'm trying to think. I like am doubting myself now, even just thinking of solutions, because I'm like, would that be cool or would that be super cheesy? I'm trying to see if I were in the position I saw a guy that I found attractive and I wanted to engage him in some way. I always try to make some like joke. I think humor is like the best way also, especially because in a vulnerable place like the gym.
Yeah.
It's like, let's like kind of break the ice a little bit.
Maybe something self-deprecating. I always think that's a good place to start.
Me too. I'm really into great... self-deprecating humor.
Totally.
If someone's like, I hate myself, I'm like, oh my God, me too.
Relatable.
Let's hang out.
What about this? So there's got to be some sort of squat rack or one of those like bench press ones.
Yeah.
Ooh. And maybe you go up to him and you go, can you spot me? And he'll go, yeah. And then he'll
that's
go,
cute.
Can you handle 12 pounds?
Oh.
Damn, Megan. Damn.
That's
good.
Cute. That's
here we are
cute.
Being like, I don't know, like a smoothie?
Yeah, we're like, oh, how's the weather?
Yeah, I support that.
I do too.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, you're like.
Thank you.
It's like you do this a lot or something.
Just hit on other people at the gym. Yeah. All the time. The last gym I went to is fifth grade, and I didn't get the presidential award.
Oh,
so
dear.
I've had some issues.
Traumatizing.
I think, yes. I got like a 2 out of 10 on like the flexibility or something.
That's the only one I could do.
See?
I feel like those are really like messed up for like adolescents, children to be like, and this is like the score you get for like, what are those things called? Like those Supermans or whatever, where you have to like lift your chest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Like those were impossible. And I just remember they were so hard on us. And I was like, when will we do this in our lives?
You're like, this has really brought up some emotional things for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, sorry. Let's
in the let's just physical continue. Fitness world.
Pull-ups, I think, are not okay for kids.
No.
Who can do a pull-up?
Stop.
Who can do one?
Stop. That might have been the last time I did a pull-up was as a kid. Like, successfully. And then my arms just, like, shattered. Like, I just collapsed.
I hate getting out of pools without stairs.
Yeah. Yep.
Because you have to, like, pull yourself up.
And everyone just starts to watch you. And you're like, why this moment? Everyone just, like, silent, staring at you, trying to do it.
And it never looks as, like, sexy as you
never.
Think it does.
Sure doesn't. Like your bathing suit kind of falls off.
Yes!
You're like, who did I just splash?
Tons of water is exiting your swimsuit.
You're just like, okay.
You're like, did I get a bikini wax? Hope so.
Right.
I guess everyone will find out if I didn't.
Since everyone is watching me.
I love not knowing. Did I get a bikini wax?
Wait a minute.
That's something that's usually burned into my memory.
Right.
With hot
literally.
Yeah. Right. That's fair.
That's true.
I've never gotten one.
Really?
Oh my. Everyone's turned on me. Literally.
How dare you? Turned on me is so funny.
I just imagined like all those woodland creatures from Snow White like coming through the windows and also being like.
Right.
One has like wax strips.
I had.
Oh, like, yeah. We were prepared. I get one like once a month.
Really?
Well, there's been times where I've not.
Yeah. This last month I was really nervous because I had skipped like 2 or something. So you're like supposed to get on a cycle and then it hurts less. And
okay.
Then it's like your hair gets on like a growth pattern. Like bodies are so weird.
Yeah.
And then I had skipped a couple just from general laziness and brokenness. And so I went back and I was so nervous. And you're almost like delirious by the end of it. Like you're sweating and you're like happy because it's almost over. But it's like what's funny to me is that's always the part. If you get a Brazilian, which I do, they wax your butt crack.
Okay, yeah.
It's everything.
It's all of it.
So you turn over and I'm just like so happy at that point because I know it's almost done.
That's always my most vulnerable moment.
Really?
During it, yeah.
Because that doesn't hurt
yeah.
as much to
it's
me for
like,
some reason.
Same.
How long does it take?
Like 20 minutes, even less. Honestly, I got one a few weeks ago and for some reason I was like, I feel nothing anymore. And I gotta say, I almost enjoyed it. It was
like
kind of relaxing. No,
well,
not sexually. It just kind of felt like a spa. Like I was like, I'm just laying here, like not looking at my phone for 30 minutes. I'm disconnecting, and I felt nothing.
I'm disconnecting.
I'm disconnecting as
as you're in your most connecting state.
Yeah.
I get lasered, so that's kind of similar.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Does it hurt?
Oh yeah.
I've always wanted to try it.
You
I'm
should.
I'm very curious.
I love it.
Do you have to go all the time?
I think it's probably very similar. I think it's every 4 weeks.
Oh, yes.
I get it on my face now. Laser on my face.
What?
Changed my life. I don't get it on my, I used to get my legs, my bikini, and my underarms.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
I'm like shocked right now. I don't know.
I know
why,
someone just told me at work the other day about that. I'm going to look into it.
You really should.
Hey guys,
yeah, it's a whole new
I'm going to look into it. Gets up and leaves.
Listen, I get it.
Yeah.
That's our tip. Get lasered in bikini wax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that help your gym question?
Ask her about her hair removal process.
What's your preference between wax and laser? Gotta
she
go.
She just slaps him across the face.
She's like, I never.
We are going to take a break while Tess and Hannah give an extra tidbit of advice you can find on meganbatoon.com/podcast. And we'll all be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. Hannah and Tess, what are you guys working on lately?
So we just silence.
Great.
Start crying.
Well, we just, I was going to say we just wrapped season two. That's not true at all. A year ago, we wrapped season two of our web series Liked.
Yeah.
But it has now been released on whohaha.com. So all episodes for season one and season two are up there.
Yes.
And then we're starting to talk about season three a little bit more.
Yeah, starting to brainstorm.
Figure that out.
We did a short film in the fall, and that's in like the festival circuit right now. Hannah directed it, and I wrote it.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun because that was the first time we had done a project together since like the spring before when we were wrapping up Liked.
So too long.
Yeah, and so now we're brainstorming for season three, and we're going to see where that goes.
I also have like a sketch idea that I really want to flesh out. Tess and I went to Rooftop Cinema Club last week and saw Sunset Boulevard. And we really want to do like some sort of parody of that.
Like a modern day Sunset Boulevard?
Yeah.
If you're familiar with this
story. I'm not.
You're not. Okay, so the premise is this guy is just moved to Hollywood to be a writer. And he's like trying to get his break. And then he's having trouble with money and all this stuff. And there's like these loan sharks kind of chasing him. And he pulls into this really grand mansion to find that it's owned by Norma Desmond, who is this like silent movie star who's kind of become like a hermit. And he starts like living with and working for her. And things get real weird. Mm-hmm. It's very suspenseful. There's like very serious like narration and voiceover the whole time. And I just think it'd be so funny to make that a modern parody.
Yeah. Like like an actress our age like had a web series that was like a big hit like 2 years ago, and then she's still just like living in that every day and was like, well, my web series.
Yeah, look how beautiful I was then.
God, I was gorgeous.
Yeah. So we're playing, we've got some stuff cooking.
Yeah.
That's what's your, so you guys have met in college.
Yes.
We heard that story off air. And essentially you didn't like each other.
I think we didn't understand each other.
It was just like, yeah, our first impressions, I just thought Hannah was very sad, and not even sad in the way that we all kind of were, you know, first semester of college. I just was like, she's
like
very, I thought she was like painfully shy.
Sure.
Which is so, now I obviously, and many people know that is not the case, but I was like, I just think the girl can't say a single damn word. Not looking like she's going to sob.
Yeah, the saddest part about that story is I know this to be true about me, that that's like an impression I give off.
Sure.
And I went into that first day of class thinking, you're going to smile.
Oh,
God, that's
you're
heartbreaking.
You're going to put out positive energy and people are going to approach you. And no one did.
We just all thought she was a bitch. No, it wasn't that.
No, that's fair.
And then, Hannah just thought I was bitchy.
Or like, I was like, that's like the popular girl from high school and like the Seattle girl thing.
No.
I was intimidated by her. And therefore,
There was nothing.
Yeah. I mean, same. So then you guys realized that you liked each other. And then when did it come about that you were like, we should make funnies together?
Well, we did like we majored in theater in college.
Okay.
And so we did productions together. We had collaborated as much as we could. And then I moved out to LA a year after we graduated, and Hannah and I did long distance for that year, which was difficult.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then she soon followed me out here, and we had to be a mile away from each other, and then we moved in together.
Yeah.
And at that point, I had been out here for a year just pursuing acting, and I was like, this is bleak. I was just like, I'm going on these auditions, and I'm like killing myself over it. And every audition, I'm feeling so discouraged, like the parts I'm going out for just pretty sexist, very demeaning. And I just was like, what am I doing? And once Hannah got here, we were like, why don't we create our own work that we're proud of and that we, you know, play characters we want to play and create a story that, you know, we're invested in. And so then, you know, that was maybe like 3 years ago when web series were like, ooh, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. You make a web series.
And you put your stuff out there.
Right. Yeah.
And when we were living in different cities, I was still coming down pretty frequently. Like, it was a real deal long distance relationship. Like, I was like, all right, well, this month I can fly out this weekend to come see you. And then maybe you could come up.
Yeah, I was like, I can work that. Yeah.
A couple months. So, and when I would come down, we would shoot sketches. Mm-hmm. Like, during my trip at some point, very low budget. Like,
very questionable, some of them.
Yeah, but it was fun. And it was like we tried a lot of different things. We tried like one where we weren't in it and one where like one of us was in it, the other directed, or one where co-wrote.
Yeah, they're all up on YouTube. One has been taken down because we were like...
Oh, no.
We were like, we can put like a Beatles song in this, right? Like before we knew about like copyright or like anything of that. Yeah, we put, what song was it?
Revolution. By the Beatles.
Yeah, that was in like 2 minutes of one of them. And then,
oh, yeah.
Like about a year after
you
YouTube
still
was like,
watch it,
you can't
but
do
they
it.
They took the sound away. Yes. So you can't listen to it.
That I dance on YouTube, and so that's horrible because all the music is copyrighted. Mm-hmm. I did a dance to Beyonce's Naughty Girl.
Oh.
But I have a sketch in the beginning and a sketch in the end. So we're talking and there's audio. And then as soon as like the lights go down, it's this whole grand scene. There's no music. And we're just dancing and performing and it's just silent. And then after the dance ends, we're talking again. And it was like, what was that?
It's very like surreal.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like an avant-garde piece. Like, what
I was
all
such
mean?
A performance artist.
I was making statements. Oh gosh, yeah, copyright sucks.
Yeah, it's before hard. We realized that was a thing. But now we just use all of our friends' music who generally wants us for like.
Luckily,
that's
we
great.
Have like really talented friends. So yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. I have friends.
So that's dope.
So that's what's going on with us right now.
You guys both write. So if you have an idea, what's your work flow like? Like, does one person kind of take, here's all the ideas, and one person like puts it together and scripts it out? Or is it like line by line?
We did it differently for season one and then season two. Season one, it was a lot. Tess wrote pretty much the entire season with me just kind of doing like, what was that called? Feedback?
What was that called? My opinion?
Or notes? See, I'm a really great writer, is what you can. What
no, Hannah is a great writer. I don't like. Oh. I don't know why I did that first season. I was like, this is all mine.
Well, I trusted her. I was like, get it, girl. And obviously, I liked what she was writing, and I would just kind of like. I feel like we do a lot of back and forth.
Yeah. It was super collaborative.
Yeah.
But then I think I was just the one that ended up
got the ball rolling.
Writing it. Yeah.
And then the second season, we had kind of like a mini writer's room.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
How'd you find those writers?
So it was just us and one other person.
Oh, okay. So it was a tiny room.
Yeah.
We were in a box. It's a shoe box.
It felt bigger, though.
It was small, but it was mighty.
Imagination.
Yeah.
Small and mighty.
But that was really fun, and I loved how that flow worked. We worked with Ellie Monahan, who is a friend we met through another friend. And she's a writer and was like, I like what you guys are doing. I'd love to work with you guys. And we kind of brought her on, and we all just started – we kind of like mapped out the season first.
Yeah, it was just a lot of like that was the best part of just like let's all say anything that comes to mind, which like I've always been kind of self-conscious about, and I was, you know, like before that I probably wouldn't have been like, all right, let's go like first thing that you think of. And so we did a lot of that and would just write everything out and just have like hundreds of pages of notes after a couple hours, and then we'd flesh that out, be like what resonated with us,
right? And we'd like kind of, and then we divvied up the episodes, like you write this, I'll write this. And then we'd all send it back to each other and give page notes. But it was really fun because I felt like we just got the opportunity to like write whatever we wanted in that way. And just kind of like one episode originally was like 15 or so pages, and we had to cut it down for web series format. And I just loved how free that was.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And we did the same thing with directing, too. We'd be like, all right, you direct this one, I'll direct this one.
That's so fun.
It was so, like, smooth.
It was really smooth.
Yeah.
Both seasons, we're like, oh.
We're like, end here. It's almost as if a dream.
Yeah. You're like, Was it a dream?
We, like, did come out of a blackout.
You check your YouTube. Did, is there anything here?
Wait, why are we here that? Right now? Yeah. What are we talking about?
Right.
I love when people figure it out and find people that they can create with. It's
totally.
So powerful.
It's definitely. Great feeling. Mm-hmm.
If there are any artists listening, can you give them a tip about, like, making art or comedy? Like, is there one thing that you tell yourself when you're creating that kind of helps you make what you want?
Yeah.
That you can give to them?
I think we learned a lot from season one. Something that, like, I really took away from when we were about to start season two was just, like, me and Hannah are the creators of the show. And I think for season one, we felt very, at times, like, timid in a way to, like, work, like, collaborating with other people. We were like, should we say this? Should we do this? Like, especially, like, with, like, the crew and just, like, other people that were involved, at least for me personally, like, that was a huge learning lesson of being like, you know what? No, like, we're the creators of this. Like, mm-hmm. we're boss ladies, you know, like, we should be, you know, confident in our decisions and in this process and not let anyone make us feel otherwise.
Or just, like, if someone suggests an idea and you're thinking of another idea, I feel like a lot of times I'd be like, yeah, let's go with that. Let's just do that. Let's go with that. And then it'd be like, well, but I wish we would have tried it this way or something. Yeah. So I think trusting your gut is, like, a big thing.
Totally.
In making your own work.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. And not like we, you know, are like, we should not take anyone's advice except our own. Like, not like that at all.
Right.
I think it just was like, especially like being a woman on set and a young woman in the industry in general, like, it's easy to feel intimidated. Mm-hmm. And I just learned, you know, like, no, this is our thing. This is our baby.
Right.
Got to protect it. Got to stand up for yourself. And so then for second season, I felt like just stronger in that. And
totally.
That helped, you know, the entire process.
And I agree. I think it helps the collaboration process if you're, like, really strong in your belief or, like, your idea. I also would say, like, just start making work. Because mm-hmm. when Tess and I started, it was, like we were saying, it was not fancy. It was.
Yeah. We'd rent out a camera from Sammy's Camera.
Uh-huh.
Good place.
And a little, yeah, shout out sponsorship from
us. Yeah. Please.
Please, we're waiting for you.
Yeah. We'd probably pick, like, just the cheapest thing we could.
Yeah, we'd get, like, a boom and a camera, and our friend would be the DP, and it would just be, like, yeah. I mean, it was just so low. I mean, we'd spend, like, maybe $100, but, like, even, you know, having a few weeks where we would send the script back to each other and, you know, then the day that we would film it, that just feels good. And
yeah,
it just
totally.
It gives you motivation to keep doing that more. And
even if no one sees it.
Exactly.
It's like, it feels so good for you to create.
Yeah.
If that's in you and you want to do it, it's like, just do it, girl.
Just do it. Yeah, like, who cares? Like, and, you know, that was before we started thinking about anyone watching it. It wasn't about, like, the views
yeah.
or really, I mean, I was like, maybe we have, like, five people
yeah.
that you kept up with this. But, yeah, just create, create, create. Just write. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have a day off, go to a coffee shop. Write for a few hours. Like, just don't judge yourself. Just don't have any expectations. Just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. Make it. Do it. Own it. Trust your gut.
For sure.
You got this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got it, girl.
Do you have time for one more question?
Oh, we sure do.
Of course.
No.
No.
I'm exhausted.
I am parked in the red.
Dentist appointment.
Just left my car on. The flashers on.
Yeah, the hazards are still going.
Yeah.
Here we go. Megan, girl, in this scenario, girls. All right, so let me get through this as efficiently as possible. Okay, strap in. It looks like it's going to be a lot.
Wow.
In 2016, when I was 21 years old and chasing my dreams in California, my abusive fiancé left me for an oil industry job in North Dakota. Good riddance. Now, almost 2.5 years later, I am dating an amazing man for the first time. This guy is genuinely checking off all of my boxes. I haven't officially said yes to being his girlfriend, but he understands that I want to take things slow. I can see myself being in a serious relationship with him in the near future. There's just one problem. He also works in the oil industry.
Wow.
No.
Twist.
Yeah. Now jobs in this field have arguably good money, and he's only doing it temporarily for 2 years. But I won't lie, the fact that he works in the same field as my ex has caused some PTSD-ish responses.
Mm. Mm.
But then it got so much worse. He just got offered a job relocation in the same town that my ex-fiance went to, a tiny town in North Dakota. Do I need to let this go? if he ends up going to North Dakota, am I supposed to just be okay with that for the next 2 years? Thank you so much. Cheers to all of you. About to go pour myself a tall glass of wine. Love, selfish, and strong.
You get a bottle of wine, honey.
Selfish and strong. Oh, that my heart is breaking for that situation.
Mine too.
It's a bad situation. I'm not going to sugarcoat that.
That's not fair. That's super triggering and unfortunate for her.
How weird. Same thing?
So I feel
same
like
place?
So sign from the universe, maybe? A test?
Yeah.
What is this?
So she lives she lives here?
She
doesn't. They'd have to do long distance?
I think she's in California. She said in 2016.
Okay.
That's when she was in California dating that ex-fiance.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that she's still here.
My instinct is originally the whole like, if my thing about long distance is if there's a like an end date, why not try it, go for it, have a conversation, figure out what's going to work for you both, because the only way that can work is like communication.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's like he's going to the same town, the same industry, any possibility of that guy coming back into your life, I would, you got to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
And you can't, I mean, it's not his fault that that's what that's his path and that's the job he's going to accept. And it's not her fault. That's just kind of unfortunate circumstances. But I personally would have a hard time separating those two relationships.
Well, yeah. On paper, they're the same except for your fiancé is with one and not dating the other.
Yes.
But they're the same stereotype or archetype of a person.
And also, since they haven't like defined what they are yet,
right,
going into a long distance relationship without like a really strong history, I'm just skeptical of long distance in general personally, because I don't think I could do it.
That's fair too. I forgot that this hasn't been established, because that's like a,
if they had been dating for years and they were in love and they really already had talked about their future, but I just think that's a little bit shaky.
I'd be nervous.
I'd be so nervous.
I'm nervous now. I'm secondhand nervous.
I am too. I feel unwell.
I think I say let it go. It's so, I feel like all of my advice this whole
let it go.
So pessimistic, but.
But it's not pessimistic, because it's like if you let go of something, you're making room for something that is more right.
That's true. That's true.
And there's so much empowerment in making that decision yourself and being like, I'm taking control of this. And saying this can't continue.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he hasn't decided if he's gonna take the job. So if he doesn't, you know, I think there's room to like, you would have to figure out how to cope with those triggers.
But then he's also not taking the job for her, and that brings
and
up
that
stuff
gets
when
you
like.
And resent.
Oh, God, so much resent.
It's messy. It's messy, girl. It's messy.
Resentment.
Resentment.
Just resent.
Dot, dot, dot. Ment.
Yeah, I feel the problem, I think the main problem here is that she took so much time to find a guy that she finally relates to and like gets her and checks off all of her boxes, which I don't know what those are. Because maybe if there are something like someone that treats me nice, someone that isn't mean, you could probably find another one of those.
Right. Very true. Well, yeah, let's hope so.
Maybe he was meant to come into her life to help her open up again and trust.
Right.
And
yeah,
now you know it's possible.
Yeah,
and
there's good guys out there.
Grateful for that. And man, I just feel so bad, because that feeling of like you found that person and then having them be like, oh, I don't know if this will work, is such a harsh reality.
Yeah. But that's probably meant to happen, you know?
Yeah. I'm a firm believer in like, things that happen are kind of meant to happen.
Especially in relationships.
More like in personal
for
life things.
Like, as hard as it is, you'll realize later that that was the right thing that happened.
Yeah, it may take 5 years to be like, why did this happen? And then 5 years later, you're like, oh.
Exactly. Right. Even like with the most painful heartbreak, it's like this, you will soon find out how this benefits you.
Right.
Yeah. Yikes. Okay, well, before we figure out a tip for her, have you ever had a shitty ex? Very bad person.
Yeah, you know, I think like more just shitty ex hookups. I feel like I haven't been like in a relationship with someone I felt was like not a good dude, but I've definitely hooked up with some trash people who have then just been like, you just kind of look back and at the time you were like, oh, it could have been so great. And then you're like, no, that was good. I got out of that. I'm trying to think of like, there was a guy I was like talking to in college and he was like one of those guys who would like be like texting you like, let's hang out, like I can't wait to see you and blah blah blah, and you'd be like, oh my god, I'm a princess, my dreams are coming true, and then like you just never hear from him again. And then he'd pop back up and be like, hey there, and you'd be like, and then finally I ran into him at a Halloween party and he texted me that night being like, it was really good to see you, and I texted him back being like, enough. Like, this is no more. She can't keep. And then he was just like, sorry, sad face. And that was it.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're not
what
even
are
like.
You getting out of it?
Because you're not even hooking up with them.
Yeah. Like,
you're
clearly,
just like, can I get your attention? Can I just get the satisfaction of just knowing that you'll reply to me? It does nothing for anyone. It makes me feel bad, and you're not getting anything from it aside from an ego boost for a couple minutes.
Yeah, and no, I think I hate guys at that age like just assume every girl wants a relationship.
Right.
And I was at that point where I was like, no, I just like want to casually see someone and kind of hook up and all that. And it was just so crazy to me. I was like, because we could be hooking up right now, but you.
Yeah.
We have. We've done it before. It was fun. And you
You're
seem
making
interested.
It into this
and,
thing.
Yeah. But.
Yeah. My first boyfriend was horrible. Like, he broke up with me on our anniversary. Yep, for sure, for sure. We went to like this nice dinner, and I was like, man, he's acting weird.
Oh, my
like,
God.
He's probably just tired or like had a hard day at work. This was in college, and then we got back to my dorm, and he broke up with me for the most absurd reasons, too. He was like, I just realized, like, you don't like hanging out with, like, me and, like, the lacrosse boys. And I was like, what? And he was like, you're just not into sports, and I feel like you're not outdoorsy enough. And I was like, okay, so we're ending our relationship off of, like, all these superficial, horrible things. And then for the next year and a half, it was, like, it was a very bad situation. Like, he would just ignore me for, like, after that happened, he took my car, actually, from San Francisco, because I told him he could. I don't know why.
Oh, okay.
He had to bring it back to my parents' house. So I was like, there's no other choice for him to drive this to Palo Alto right now. And then just ignored me for, like, 6 months, I think. Like, wouldn't respond to a single text. Left a 16-page typed-out letter at his house.
You did. It's a dissertation.
I did. I know. I was like, is that the best work I've ever done? No response to that. Later told me he just threw it in the trash the moment he got it.
Oh, my
gosh. And then ended up, like, I reunited with him that next summer when I was home for the summer. And then we started, like, hooking up again. But he was like, you're not telling anyone about this, right? And I was like, no.
It's like just my blog.
I'm just writing about it in my diary, how confused I am. But that's it. And then it just was, like, months and months of that of, like, he'd be like, well, let's get back together. And I'd be like, okay, yes. Like, I'm still so in love with you. And then just 3 weeks of not a single text back, completely ignoring me, and then be like, I want to take you out to dinner.
What?
And then it was, I want to move to San Francisco for you.
Oh, man.
And then never spoke to me. It was like that on and off for like a year. It was awful.
It was, as a best friend in that situation, it was very hard to watch.
It was hard to realize
it was, to
I was.
Be in.
It was hard for me. I'd like to put that out there.
Well, the final straw was Hannah and I were invited to this party from his best friend. Uh-huh. And he was like, why don't you and Hannah like come bartend for the night? It's this 80s party. And this is painful for me and Hannah because this was a rough night for
that
our
was
friendship.
Because like we're bad bartenders.
But and very bad bartenders.
We had our first big fight as in our
at the party. Or then my ex showed up there, which I didn't think he would, but I kind of knew he would. And this was when, like, this was a couple weeks after he had been like, I want to move to San Francisco for you. And then just did not speak to me at all. And so he was there and I got wasted and I was supposed to be bartending with Hannah. And then a lot of people were at the party. There was like hundreds of people and I left her alone to bartend as I was talking to him in like one of the random bedrooms. And he was basically like, there's not one thing about you that I like anymore. And I was like,
oh my God, why did you pull me aside for this?
Exactly. And then Hannah's outside just like, where did you go? And I was like, I'm heartbroken.
And I'm like, well, this is about our bartending responsibility. Like, looking back on it, I just want to like slap like 19-year-old Hannah. Like, girl.
It was a painful time.
There was other things going on.
Yeah. And we were in these like ridiculous 80s outfits, and I just ran back home with a backpack on uphill in San Francisco at like 2 a.m. just sobbing.
Yeah.
Nothing's worse than like being sad while covered in tulle.
And like a ton of makeup that's just like running
glitter
down
everywhere.
Face.
Blue like, down your yeah. cheeks. Like, I know you're heartbroken, but what about the garnish?
The easiest bartending job ever. Like,
probably.
Like a keg and like.
At the end of the night, I just remember like trying to put some of the tips like into my like leotard and just being like, is it even worth it?
But we made up immediately.
We made up immediately. And I never spoke to him again.
I'm so sorry. I abandoned you in your time of need.
It was rough. But I also was a monster that night as well. So,
you know, it made us stronger.
It did.
Did you get paid for this night?
No.
So it was off of tips.
It was off of tips. So I think at the end, I think I had made $12.
I didn't even take money. I forgot about it. I was like, whoa. Gotta go.
I went to this party and all I got was $12 in heartbreak. That's your next shirt idea. Wow.
Whew.
So a tip for this person. Do they need to let them go?
I think so.
I'd say it's best for yourself, girl. Yeah. Like, this is only going to make you stronger, and someone better is going to come along.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it'll be for the best.
Yeah. 2 years long distance with somebody you're not even actual relationship with right now.
Yeah.
That's like the honeymoon stage.
You want to be together all the time. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too crazy of a person for long distance, but.
No, I couldn't do it either.
I
don't think it's realistic.
Okay, no. Are we all going to admit that? Okay. Yeah. Okay, good.
Is this a safe space?
Yeah. I did long distance and it was terrible.
For how long?
6 months.
Ugh.
Oof. Oh.
Thoughts?
Don't do it.
Don't do it. Right. Parting thoughts? Don't.
Just don't.
Again, unless there's like a clear end point, but even beyond a year.
That's
like,
too long.
I can't even imagine a year apart.
I can imagine maybe a couple months, but not even. I'm very needy.
I know. Yeah.
Very codependent.
Love it. So don't do it.
Don't do it.
Love yourself. You'll find someone that's here for you physically and emotionally.
Oh, agreed.
Agreed.
Thank you guys so much for helping out.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Where can people on the internet find you on the internet?
Well, season 1 and 2 of Liked web series is on whohaha.com right now.
Whohaha.com.
So go check us out there. We're on Instagram at liked_ web series, right?
Liked_web_.
There's a lot of underscores in there. But if you type in liked web series, it'll show up.
You'll find it. The search bar works.
Yeah.
Amazing. If you guys have any sticky situations or burning concerns yourself, email us at justatipshow@gmail.com and be sure to sign off Sleepless in Seattle style so we don't out your true persona. Also rate us 5 stars because last week I snapped at my mom. She said it was okay, but I still feel a little bit bad about it. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.